محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والحمد لله رب العالمين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله. يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. صدق الله العلي العظيم. In most cases, mankind is oblivious and heedless about so many bounties and boons that God has provided to him. We swim in sea, an ocean of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take from our body to the surroundings, to the day and light, to the geographic location that you live in, to this universe that you're living, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are countless. We cannot count them. Yet, we are very oblivious about them. We don't pay attention to them, very mindless. The Almighty tells us a glimpse of His blessings that He has provided for mankind. In the ayah, Surah 31 of Surah Ibrahim, the Almighty says, وَأَنْزَلَ لَكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الْفُلْكَ تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِأَمْرِهِ وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الْأَنْهَارِ وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ دَائِبَيْنِ وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارِ وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. The Almighty says that I have sent down rain, water, so you take fruit out of that for your provision, and made ship so you sail on them, and rivers that's at your disposal. And then there is sun and moon, day and light, and has provided to you, has given you from whatever you have asked Him, whatever that comes in your mind, and you have asked the Lord, He has provided to you. And if you decide to count the blessings of Allah, you will not be able to. These are the ni'mats and the blessings of God that He has provided. But how many of us recognize those? Or when we recognize them, how many we count them? We do not count so many. Therefore, the verses have come to tell a human being that to place thanks to Allah. At least acknowledge and show your appreciation. But this appreciation that you will show is not for yourself. It's not for the sake of God. When you say thank you God, you're not benefiting God. In fact, you are benefiting yourself. The return is coming to you. The ayah says, وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever places thanks, in fact, he's taken, reaping the rewards. The result of the thank is coming back to him. He will be benefiting. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ غَنِيٌّ كَرِيمٌ. So the benefit, we reap the benefit of the thanks and hand when we do it. Now, how is that possible? One way is a psychological way, emotional way. When I acknowledge the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will be psychologically positive and happy and feel comfortable. I will give you an example. Many of us go to restaurants, and sometimes we go to fancy restaurants. We pay for the restaurant. Now, when there is a leftover food, what do we do with that? We ask the waiter to bring us a box, so we take the leftover. Why do we take the leftover? Because this leftover, first of all, if it's a fancy and good food, it's a delicious food that we enjoy. Second, it came from our hard earning. We have earned this food with our hard work, achievement and accomplishment. We earned the money. Therefore, with this money, we provided this food. Therefore, every single bit of it to us is important because it has cost us money. Therefore, when we eat it, we take our time, make sure that we enjoy the food, we eat it piece by piece, and then when we go home, tomorrow and after tomorrow, it depends on how good is the wife, whether to cook or not to cook, we keep eating the food and enjoy it. Why? Because it is valuable in our eyes. Because we have seen how much energy we have put in this. Maybe, for example, if the meal is $20 or $30, we have worked 2 or 3 hours to earn that much of food. So an energy of 3 hours we have spent in order to get that piece of food. Therefore, to us, is very significant and valuable. Now imagine this bottle of water that I drink. If I think of this, that there are so many millions of atoms and molecules and living things that God has put into our disposal in order it gets to me and I sip from it. How much value does that have? You know, when the water gets evaporated, how many molecules get evaporated until they form in the upper sky, they form clouds, and then from those clouds, pure water comes down, then it gets sterilized, purified, then transported, then gets to the, you know, different companies to purify it and take it all the way until I get it to this much. How many processes ended up until it got to me? Out of so many people, the Almighty gave me the privilege to drink it. Shouldn't I feel lucky? Shouldn't I feel privileged that I have taken this bottle and drunk it? I give you another example. Imagine there is a very high value person. You think of him as a celebrity or a very important person. On the occasion of Eid, on certain occasion, he sends you a postcard. Wouldn't you become elated that out of so many, this person remembered me? He put me in his thoughts when he sent me this postcard. And the postcard doesn't have any value. You get it from Hallmark for what? $2, $3? $3 maximum. So these $2, $3 to you were so important. Why? Not because of the materialistic value. Rather, it's to the fact that the person who sent it to you was thinking of you. Now imagine, when I take the blessings of Allah, like this bottle of water, or any food that I eat, and I know the Creator, the one who made this out of so many people, out of so many human being and animal, He made it through and gave it to me. Shouldn't I be feeling lucky and proud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has privileged me with this ni'mah? When you think of that, when you remember that, it will give you a sense of confidence that the Almighty would never leave you. He always, look after you and protect you and help you. The fact that you remember that this ni'mah, this blessing came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by itself is a thank. Al-Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in his words, he says, in this regard that you just remember the ni'mah, he says, adna shukr, the least step of shukr, adna shukr, ru'yatin ni'mati min Allah, wal-ridha bima a'tah. That you think this valuable thing that was descended to you, it's from God, and you are satisfied to take it. This is one. The other important thing, when we say thanks, when we place our thanks, God has promised, has made it mandatory for Himself to return the thank back to you. He will increase these blessings. As the ayah says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. The more of thanks you place, the more thank you and hamd you say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it back in multitude. Again, think of it this way. A farmer who has a big farmland, now he planted the farmland, multi acres of farmland. 1/4 of this farmland give better inputs, give better fruits. The fruit of that area is better than the other quarters of the farm. The farmer naturally will pay attention to that quarter more than other quarters. He will fertilize it, he will pay more attention to it, he take the weeds away, irrigate it, give it more and more of his attention and value to that piece of land. Why? Because it is giving more and more return. While the other quarter that doesn't give any fruit or give a bad fruit, it loses, the market loses interest in it. So it's because it's not given anything. Let me change it. Let me build it or sell it. So naturally, when we place thank to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, we are telling God that we are ready to receive your blessings. And the more we say thank, we show our privilege and our ability and capacity to return the thank to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take a human being in this. Someone who is through his power, God gives him power, gives him post, but instead of helping people, he oppresses people. He kills people. He murders people. In reality, he's telling God that I am not qualified for this power. Take it away from me. While someone, irregardless of what kind of religion he has, whether he's a believer or not believer, when he performs justice, when he helps people, when he erects peace and justice on face of planet, in other words, by practice is telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am ready for this and I have capacity for this ni'mah. Therefore, increase the ni'mah to me. Therefore, there is a word attributed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, who says, "Al-mulku yabqa ma'al kufr, wa la yabqa ma'al dhulm." Power, rule, monarchy stays with kufr. Maybe the person is kafir. He doesn't recognize God, but he's just. And the other person, no, he recognizes God, and he prays 5 daily prayers, and he observes fasting, but he's an oppressor. Dhulm is in fact negating the ni'mat of Allah, the blessing of God, rejecting this blessing, therefore God will take it away. You don't see an oppressor stays for so long of a time. His life is always short. Why? Because the ayah says, وَلَنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٍ. When you reject the ni'mah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take it away from you. today we need, tonight we need to squeeze the speech and finish it. Therefore, I have, you know, summarized it. How do we place thanks? You know, at the end, I have a message to give you. You know, through this introduction, there is something that I need to say. How do we place thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Number one is by acknowledging this blessing. When I know that out of so many people, I have been designed to take, designated to take this blessings, this acknowledgement is a form of a prayers. Not only God provided this blessings to me, He also made me able to use it. You see, there are so many people, God give them the blessing, but still they cannot use it. How many times you have been in a reception, the owner of the home, or your next friend, someone who's sitting with you, he tell you, I cannot eat from this food because I have cholesterol, or because I am diabetic, or because I have high pressure. I remember we used to go to a home of one of our acquaintance and relatives. Very nice, very generous. He would cook, but he could not eat. So when he sees us, he tells us, eat from this. Why should we eat? Because he cannot eat. So the blessing of Allah, He has given you the blessing and He made you able to take it. So two blessings at once. So we should remember those things. We should acknowledge that God could have taken this away and given it to somebody else. We are the ones who have been chosen and privileged by Allah to make it. Especially health, brothers and sisters. There is a famous saying, says, health is like a crown on the head of the healthy people, but only the sick people notice it. The healthy people don't notice it. I am healthy, I am totally oblivious about it. When do I realize my health? When I get sick, when I be ill. Therefore, always we have to think and acknowledge this ni'mah. One reason of visiting the patient, you know, we are highly advised to visit the patients when they get sick. One reason is that we remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have done the exact thing to us, to me, but He didn't out of His mercy. Therefore, it is highly recommended when you see such person, a sick person, that you go and visit in your heart, not verbally and loud, you say, Alhamdulillah alladhi aafani mimma ibtala bihi ghayri. Walau sha'a fa'al. Oh God, I place thank to you that instead of me, you didn't make me suffer from this illness. Rather, someone else suffered. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the narration, say, whoever says this, he will not be plagued with that sickness and that illness. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful and generous. You know, when He took away the illness that could easily been to you. This is one way. The other one is when we verbally say it. When you say, Hamdulillah, Shukran Lillah, there is a prostration called Sujdatu Shukr. Place sujdatin, you know, prostrate. At any time, whenever you see that God has taken away a danger from you, or gave you a blessing, you won the lottery, for example, or you were guided to do good things at that time, it is highly advisable that you do a prostration, sujdat al-shukr. What do you say in the sujda? You don't have to say anything. Just your gesture is good enough. Say Alhamdulillah, say Shukran Lillah. And of course there is a small statement that you can say. You say, Allahumma laka sajadtu, wa alayka tawakkaltu, wa bika amantu, wa ilayka anabt, falaka alhamdu wa shukr. Ya dal jalali wal ikram. Then three times you say Shukran Lillah. This is in your sujood. Anytime you see the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you say it. That's the second type. And most importantly, brothers and sisters, is the action of us is considered to be the true thanking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because actions speak much louder than words. Here, the Imam alayhi salam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, شكر المؤمن يظهر في عمله وشكر المنافق لا يتجاوز لسانه. The true believer, when he say thanks, when he truly admits the blessings of God and he plays thanks to Allah, it is demonstrated through his work, through his actions. While the munafiq only say it verbally, but his actions are not good. The least thing that we do, we should not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these blessings that he has given us. If he has given me vision, I should not disobey him with my vision. If he has given money, I should not disobey him with this money. If he has given me the ni'mah of hearing, I should not disobey him with my hearing. Here, again, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, شكر كل نعمة الورع فيما حرم الله تعالى. When you place a thank to Allah, just avoid any sin in that ni'mah. Whatever that ni'mah. If it's a piece of food, don't throw it away. Keeping it, preserving it, and eating it yourself is considered to be shukr of ni'mah. While when you throw it away, this is considered to be kufran. This is considered to be kufr. Even if you say 1,000 times, Alhamdulillah, shukran lillah, after your meal. Because the action itself, speak much louder than the words. Look at the words of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Sayyid al-Shuhada. In his beautiful dua, dua Arafah. Very elegant and eloquent dua. We recite it on day of Arafah, and I'm sure you have recited it. He says, أَبِسَمْعِي أَمْ بِبَصَرِي أَمْ بِلِسَانِي أَمْ بِيَدِي أَمْ بِرِجْلِي أَلَيْسَ كُلُّهَا نِعَمَكَ عِنْدِي وَبِكُلِّهَا عَصَيْتُكَ يَا مَوْلَاي. For which one, from my hand or my eyes or my ears, that I commit sins and they are all blessings, these are all your ni'mat to me, and through them that I have committed sin. This is a teaching to us, brothers and sisters. When we recognize that all our limbs and body parts and everything that God has given us in our body are His blessings and His ni'mat, at that time we realize we should not commit anything against Him. God tells us a story about a town that God has provided so much to them, but they made kufr. They refused it. They negated it. Here is the ayah. It says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرِيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّ يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. God has given them valley, fertile valley, and a river and dam. Through this dam, the river, stream of water, will come and go through their farmlands, feeding their farmlands. They have ample of fruits and vegetations and everything, you name it. Of course, when there is a plant, when there is a fruit, when there is vegetations, there are cattle as well. So they had all kind of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. They have plenty of those vegetations. What they would do with those? They went to the wheat pulp. You know the wheat that from that they make dough and they make bread. They took the wheat. They condensed it in such a way to use it simply, to use it as a toilet paper for their children, for their infants. They would clean their infants with the wheat pulp. This is how the Mufassirin narrates that. And they would take it, throw it, you know, into outside. They made a big pile of the waste, of such kind of waste, that turned to be a big mountain next to the town. A big mountain of waste, you know, of those clean wheat pulps that have been contaminated with human waste for those children. 1 year, 2 years, 10 years. One of the abids, one of the great wise people came and told them, what kind of things you're doing? Aren't you afraid God will take away all of these? He said, no, alhamdulillah, we have a dam, we have a river, we have a plenty of fertile lands. No. And what should we do with that? In one night, overnight, the dam broke, the water fell, destroyed their town, destroyed their fertile land, and they were caught with fear. God says, فَأَذَاقَهُمُ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. First, terrorized them. And second, there was starvation and famine. The scholar said that those same people, eventually they were forced to go to this mountain and feed their stomach from the same mountain. This is called Kufran al-Ni'mah. Why? Because they have rejected this. When you look today in the Islamic countries, especially some Arab countries, what do they do with their oil? What do they do with their oil? Do they provide it for their people? Do they grow the human, for example, condition in their country? What do? They make contracts for $385 billion to buy weapons. To use it against whom? To use it against whom? Against their fellow Muslims. You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take away this from them? Would not punish them for this? But who has the intelligence? Who has the mind to think about this? Completely oblivious. So this is the second kind, which is you abstain from maharam. And the third thing is when you take the ni'mah in your advantage, in your legitimate advantage. Build yourself, build your community, build your family with whatever God has given you. You see, the Almighty talks about Ali Dawood. Ali Dawood was Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam. And both became kings while they were a prophet. The Almighty says, اعملوا آل داود شكرا. With your actions, you're placing thanks to Allah. What they were doing? Dawood and Sulaiman, what was their job? Here, the ayah says, he says, يعملون له ما يشاء من محاريب وتماثيل وجفان كالجواب وقدور راسيات. Big homes, big mansions, huge statues, big pots for cooking, silver and different kind of, you know, precious metals that his army, his workers were building. Why? To erect a civilization for the sake of his community, for the sake of his country. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is considered to be a great thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By work, brothers and sisters. You see, I gave you all this introduction to get to this point. Tonight, although the epic of Hussein and Ashura is continuing, but we are reaching the end of this season here in this masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given so many blessings to the followers of Ahlul Bayt, brothers and sisters. We are so fortunate among so many different communities to receive those blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will just tell you about four of them. Number one, brothers and sisters, that bihamdulillah, He made us all followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. The ones that love Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. I give you an example. If God has given you billions of dollars and you have been chosen the wealthiest person by Forbes magazine, but in return he tells you you are follower of Marwan ibn al-Hakam or Yazid ibn Muawiyah, what benefit that would do to us? So what? After 8 years, 100 years, we have to give up all of those and end up where? Somewhere else. You know that. So the fact that God has guided us to be the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam by itself, a greatest blessing that cannot be matched by anything. It dwarfs all the blessing. Here the Almighty says, then people who are guided, they say, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِي لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. God has guided us to the path of Ahlul Bayt. It was not through my muscle. It was not through my intelligence. Because of His blessings, because of His mercy, He guided us to this great path of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Should we give it up so easily? This is the greatest blessing that requires thank and appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one. Second, brothers and sisters, just recently he allowed us to visit our imams. Until a few years ago, six of our imams were boycotted. We could not go and visit them. Now the path of Ahlul Bayt, the path for the shrines of Ahlul Bayt is made easy. You know, just before 2003, Karbala and Najaf used to be ghost towns during Muharram. Who could speak? Who could go to their shrines? The minute person goes to the shrine, and if he's local and he leaves, khalas, that's it. He should write his will and say farewell to his family. He's gone. The shrines were empty nowadays, mashallah. I'm sure many of you have witnessed Bayn al-Haramain, between those two great shrines of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and Imam Hussein. Hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions of people, who come through procession and walk through these great shrines. Isn't this a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The third one is the blessing of Muharram itself, where we cleanse ourselves. When we get together, when we break bread together, when we give another allegiance to our great Imam, Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam, when we start getting more and more of his wisdom. You see, brothers and sisters, bihamdillah, with God's grace, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, many of them, if not the majority, are knowledgeable. They can tell the difference. How they become knowledgeable? Unfortunately, the majority of us do not read books. Also, the other group do not read books. How many of us read books? We think about everything except reading books, let alone buying books. Where do we get these information? From these majalis. From the member of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You know, we listen, we get the wisdom, we understand. Of course, I am the ignorant here. I am talking about other majalis. That we acquire our knowledge and our information about Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and about our religion from what? From these majalis. So these are greatest blessing to us, because the majority don't read books. We don't, you know, I don't have time to go and check the books and see what Imam Hussein did and what Ali ibn Abi Talib did and what his enemies have said. We acquire those and we get enlightened through these majalis. And another and fourth blessing, brothers and sisters, is the blessing of Arba'een. That's the epic of Arba'een. Wallahi, I swear by God, if anyone doubts the miracle of Imam Hussein, just comes one time in his holy shrine during the Arba'een, then you would recognize the miracle of this man. It is unbelievable. The official accounts, they say 20 million people. Let's say half of that. Let's say 10 million people. Which city, which town on face of this planet can take more than 3 million people? This year I was in Hajj. I was fortunate to be among the visitors of House of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 3 million people. You know how many stones got to my head when I was throwing the stone? And how many people get injured right there? And how many people get suffocated when they do the circling around the Kaaba? Those who have been there, they know what I'm talking about. We were about 2.5 million. Believe me, without exaggeration, maybe hundreds of thousands of soldiers and police were there, guiding people, telling them go this way, go that way. This is where in Mecca with only 2.5 million. Those of you who have done the trek, have walked through Najaf to Karbala, have you ever seen a single policeman there? Despite the precarious security situation, have you seen people will, you know, grab you in the middle of the street? Millions of people walk and have their procession safely. And sometimes the enemy attacks and kill people. Still people are more adamant, make them more and more adamant to go and pay their tribute to Imam Hussein. Imagine those 10 or 15 million people for 7 days, and I'm not talking about more than 7 days. In these 7 days, how many meals they eat? If each one of us eats 3 meals, multiply 15 times 3, this is 45 million meals per day. Multiply it by 7, this puts you what? 300, 320, 310 million meals per day. Who provides these food? The United Nations? Or the US Army? Or the IMF? One day in Haiti, there was an earthquake. The American Army distributed 4.5 million meals. And that was the biggest achievement that US military have accomplished. While in Iraq, who provides them those food? People, governments, international bodies, or regular, ordinary people, just like you and me and you. Those are the ones. Those who love Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, ordinary people. Sometimes they sell their cars. Sometimes they sell their beds in order to feed the Zuwar, the pilgrims of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Isn't this a miracle? The biggest dining table you can see on the face of this planet. Taken the march from Basra, which is 600 kilometers away, all the way to Karbala. How many of those stations are there? And then they beg for food. They tell you, please, just come and eat. Just come and eat. If each of them worth $1, this is a $320 million that they are spending on the food. Isn't this a miracle? Not only that, this is food. Now people, how they organize themselves? How they control themselves? And look at any match. Go to Europe and see soccer matches when they have. At any match, what happens? Those hooligans and gangs who go and break windows and shatter windows, what happens to them? In Iraq, millions, millions upon millions walk all in harmony. All in peace. You don't see any fighting, any person fighting with others. All peaceful demonstrating, going to their master, going to Hussein ibn Ali. Isn't that a miracle? These are what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. What is our responsibility toward that, brothers and sisters? How we should place thanks to such kind of a great blessing, to such kind of phenomena. I know I am taking your time, but in just 5 more minutes, inshallah, we will finish. First one, brothers and sisters, is we have to pay tribute to Hussein. Why? Because he has done favor to every one of us. Not only to us, to the entire humanity. Because he became the beacon of liberty, the beacon of freedom. Therefore, not only me and you should go, you should convince 10 other people, even if they are non-Muslims. Take them, tell them here. Come and see this refuge of liberty, this beacon of liberty. It is incumbent on every single follower of Ahlul Bayt to visit Imam Hussein. Here, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam has a warning. He says, مَنْ لَمْ يَأْتِ قَبْرَ الْحُسَيْنِ حَتَّى يَمُوتْ كَانَ مُنْتَقِصَ الْإِيمَانِ مُنْتَقِصَ الدِّينِ إِنْ أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ كَانَ دُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِيهَا. Whoever who believes in Hussein but doesn't visit Hussein. If he dies, he would not die with a complete belief. منتقص الإيمان. Some of his belief is gone. Not only that, he's منتقص الدين, and then منتقص الإيمان, his belief and his religion is shortened. إن أدخل الجنة كان دون المؤمنين. If he gets into paradise, his status, his level is lower than the rest of مؤمنين. Why? You ask Imam al-Sadiq, why is so? He said, because there is no one who doesn't dream to go to Hussein and visit Hussein. People in the heaven, those who are in the heaven, they are more eager to go to visit Hussein than people who live on the face of this planet. He says, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ Imam al-Sadiq. إِلَّا وَهُمْ يَسْأَلُونَ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَأْذَنَ لَهُمْ فِي زِيَارَةِ الْحُسَيْنِ No angel, no one who lives in the heavens, you know, their spirits, if they don't beg God to visit the shrine of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. So when you go and visit, imagine how lucky you are. We should ask more and more of people to come and join this group. Why? Because today it is considered to be a show of force, brothers and sisters. The followers of Ahlul Bayt, they have to put this to demonstration, that they are a force that must be reckoned with. This is show of solidarity, show of unity, when we declare Labbayka Ya Hussein. This is the beauty of visiting the shrine of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. The other duty that we have, brothers and sisters, is that we have to get more and more advanced and progressed. We cannot be backward, brothers and sisters. Unfortunately, when you look at the Islamic nation, you see it is among the weakest, among the poorest, among the most backward nations. Why is it so? Because one time we used to think of education and acquiring knowledge, but no longer. To us, it's not that important. When you look at the statistics, the numbers, it tells you among Islamic countries, Muslims are the least educated. Among the rest of religions, take Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity and Judaism, you see Muslims are the least educated. Only 8% of them get it to the higher education, meaning beyond high school, university education. Only 8% of Muslims. While the Jews are 61%. Christians are 30%. Buddhists are 12%. Hindus are 10%. Someone who doesn't have education, doesn't have knowledge, will always have to stay in the back of the line. This is how it is, you know. Because other nations crush us and take us away. This is second one. And the third one, inshallah, we'll finish, is that we have to assimilate in this country, brothers and sisters. Most of us, many of us are born in this country. And the other half are naturalized citizens or permanent residents here. We have to get assimilated in this country. You see, it is not the fault of non-Muslims not to recognize Hussein. Last night I talked about that. It is our fault that we didn't introduce Hussein to them. How would we introduce him? When we get into their mainstream life, when we get in their financial system, in their government system, in their political system, you see, some people say, no! You as a Muslim, you as a follower of Ahlul Bayt should not contaminate yourself with getting into politics and the government. This is wrong, brothers and sisters. Why? Because who's better, you or Yusuf alayhi salam, the prophet? Who's worse, the government here or Fir'aun at that time? Yusuf alayhi salam telling Fir'aun, who was a kafir, he tells him, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض فإني حفيظ عليم. You appoint me as the treasurer. Yusuf used to work under the, you know, auspices of the king, Fir'aun. He didn't recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for the sake of social responsibility of Yusuf, He went into the government for what? For what reason? Not to promote himself, not to have self-promotion, rather for the self, for the sake of the people, to save the innocent, the Egyptians, from drought and starvation. One of the companions of Imam Musa al-Kadhim, Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam, his name is Ali ibn Yaqtin. Working under whom? Under Harun. Harun, is there any tyrant worse than Harun? Now, Ali ibn Yaqtin wanted to resign. Imam al-Kadhim told him, no, don't resign. Then he told him, Ya Ali, if you promise me one thing, I promise you three things. He told him, Ya Ali, if you أضمن لك أن لا يقلك سيف أن لا يضلك سيف سقف سجن. Number one, you will not be under any roof of a prison, meaning that you will not be imprisoned. Second, ولا يأخذك حد السيف. Sword will never reach you. You will be alive. And third, ولا يدخل الفقر بيتك. You will not be poor. Three things I promise you. You will not be imprisoned. You will not be murdered and killed. And you will not be poor. For one thing, one promise that you do to me. What is? اضمن لي حوائج المؤمنين. When someone has a need, request you for a favor, you provide that thing. You do the favor for him. Help people. So for us being in the government here, we should keep in mind that when we go, we should help the right. We should help people, not for, you know, self-promotion. Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam were not narcissists. They are sitting in their homes and being isolated from the public. They always get involved. Look at the style of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. Every single station he stopped, he collected people and gave them his sermons, taught them. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was moved under the order of al-Mansur. Asked him to force him to leave Medina and come to Kufa for 2 years. At the end of those 2 years, the narrator said, one day I went to Masjid al-Kufa. I looked and saw there are 900 scholars all saying, حدثني جعفر بن محمد. He started teaching them. 900 scholars. Very few were Shias and followers of Ahlul Bayt. This is how our Imams were. This is how Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam were. Once they are in a place, in a town, in a village, they disseminate their knowledge. They sit with people. They get acquainted with people. They invite them. This is how a Muslim should be. Look at those captives. Look at the household of Hussein. When they were taken to Ibn Ziyad, first they went from Karbala to Kufa, then from Kufa to Sham. But which way? You know how they were taken to Sham? They went all the way north to Mosul. You know Mosul? That was under control of ISIS. From Mosul to Nasirin, then to Aleppo, Halab, and then from there to Damascus. Look how big was the trip. Why they did this to them? To humiliate them. To show the cities, to show the Islamic, you know, towns and cities that look at those bandits, look at those heretics. To humiliate them. Now when you go to those cities, to those locations, you see there is a monument for Zainab. There is a monument right in front of the shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Tell al-Zainabi. There where she stood and looked at the laying body of her brother. Then there is a monument in Kufa for Zainab. There is another monument in Mosul, in Sanjar, where Yazidis are, there is a monument for her. There is another monument in Aleppo for her. What is this monument? And she was captive, she was imprisoned. She wasn't the one who built these monuments. Who built these monuments for her? The enemy. Those people who had no idea who was Zainab, and then they got acquainted with Zainab. Then they built that monument for her. Whenever her blessed holy foot stood, there was a monument for her. Tonight, brothers and sisters, it's a great night on household of the Prophet, peace be upon him. After Hussein was martyred and killed, Ibn Sa'd, Umar ibn Sa'd, says, Ya khayl Allah irkabi, wa bil jannati abshiri, go toward the camp of Hussein. He declared to bring him fire. He said, Alayya bin nar li uhriqa buyut al-zalimin. Let me destroy and bring to fire the houses of zalimin, calling the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the household of zalimin. They rushed to the tents, to the camp, and they saw Zainul Abideen lying on the ground. They wanted to kill him. When Shem pulled the sword to kill the Imam, Zainab threw herself right on the body of Zain al-Abideen and said, La wallah, I will not allow you to kill him until you kill me. First finish me, then kill this man, this young man. They left him, but they burned all those tents. All the camp was burned to fire. Now those little children, the widows, were running away from the fire. They didn't know where to go. If they go to the battlefield, the enemy is there. If they go to the desert, God knows what happens to them. If they stay, they all get in the flames of the fire. They went to Zain al-Abideen. Zainab told him, Ya ibn Akhi, all the tents are burned. What should we do? Zain al-Abideen tell her, Amma run, tell my sisters, tell my aunts to run away. Just run away. So they started going left and right. One of them was Fatima bint al-Husayn. She said, I was standing up by the door of the tent. All of a sudden, I looked one of the soldiers of Ibn Ziyad. In the back of his spears, he is coming and attacking us. He is hitting us, stabbing us with the back of his spears. She said, I ran away, but he hit me right on my shoulder. I fell on the ground. All of a sudden, I noticed that my head is carved and my veil was taken away. Didn't know what to do. I covered my head. I covered my hand right on my head so no one can see me. All of a sudden, I noticed my Amma Zainab came and hugged me in her lap. I told her, Amma, I don't have something to cover my head. She told me, Bunayya wa ammatuki mithluki. Your aunt is also the same. They took the headscarves from those ladies. They were scattered all over. One of the orphans, a girl, she ran away from those soldiers until one soldier grabbed her. He pulled the earring from her. While the blood started to gush, he was pulling the earring while he was tearing. He was in tears. He was weeping. She told him, why are you in tears? He said, why shouldn't I be? You're the daughter of Hussein. You're daughter of Rasulullah. Of course, I am taking this and I know who you are. She said, well, if you know me, why you do this to me? He said, because if I don't, someone else will do. Therefore, I am the one who have, you know, I have been promised to take some boons. That is what I am. Children were running away. The job of Zainab was to collect the children, to collect the family. She kept calling names. Ya Atika, wa ya Rabab, wa ya Ruqayya, wa ya Sukaina. But so many of them were gone. Two children of Abdurrahman ibn Aqil, not Muslim ibn Aqil. Abdurrahman ibn Aqil had two sons. One is called Sa'd and the other one is called Aqil. They were so thirsty. Before the martyrdom of Hussein, they were so thirsty. Zainab kept calling them. No trace for Sa'd and Aqil. When she went outside, she noticed that they have dug a hole. They grabbed each other, hugged each other, putting their chest right on the ground because of thirst. They were so thirsty. She went and shook them, but they didn't wake up. They were dead from thirst. At that time, the soldiers kept calling. Umar ibn Sa'd told him, Umar, Ya Amir, now you have finished Hussein. Those children are waiting for water. Bring them water. He refused first. Then eventually he said, get them water. When they brought them water, they were all thirsty. Their heart was like a flame, but no one approached water. Why? Aren't you thirsty? They said, كَيْفَ نَشْرَبْ وَقَدْ قَبَبْنُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَطْشَانُ. Son of Rasulullah died while he's in thirst. Should we drink? No, we're not drinking. Zainab collected all of them on that night. After everyone went to sleep, many of them did not sleep, but they were in the tent. At that time, she went to the battlefield, searching for her beloved Hussein, looking for Hussein until she found the body of Hussein. She went to the body, took it, and declared, Wa Muhammada, Salla alayka maliku sama, Hada Husaynuka bil aram, Maslub al imamati wal rida, Ma'zuz al rasi min al qafa. They cut out his throat, his head from behind. بأبي من لا غائب فيرجى ولا صريخ فيدا ولا جريح فيداوى لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته.